April 1st. I've had a hell of a day, which I won't detail for you. Suffice, I did not get the painting.
It wasn't that difficult an assignment. You had plenty of time to make the auction. Don't tell me you finished off with your woman before leaving.
I won't dignify that one with a reply. There was a delay at the airport. I arrived 20 minutes after the Fouquet went. But I have the buyer's address. I intend to case the home this evening.
Case it? Karen, do not by any means steal the thing.
Since when are you so averse to acquiring things by any means necessary?
Since this is a gift. A gift that will lose all meaning should it be obtained through the various means.
Well, that's a big word, old man. Listen, she won't know how the painting was acquired, so the point is moot.
I'll know.
Do you even know where she is?
You haven't stopped by her loft to see if she's home?
Haven't had time. I've been racing the clock. You think she's in New York? I'll give her a call.
After you've shown the buyer into selling you the painting.
Garin opened a drawer, and his eye fell on the 9mm pistol inside.
Don't press me, old man.
You're as old as I am. Can you have it done by tomorrow afternoon?
Are you writing up party invitations? I thought this was going to be a small to-do.
It is. I want to make everything right.
Well, since I'm doing all the legwork, then I'm sure you won't mind funding this little venture.
I'll give you my credit card number.
Garin found a pen and wrote down the number.
Yeah, that'll work. I'll call you back after I've acquired the thing without the use of nefarious means. I hope she appreciates this.
Anya expected to find a hungover young man buried beneath the sheets. Hell, Eric hadn't had time for a hangover. He was probably still riding his drunk. Anya had stopped into O'Leary's, and the bartender confirmed feeding him supper, then serving him countless rounds of Guinness as she watched Eric cozy up to the flute player with curly blonde ringlets. Anya pinched Eric's shoulder.
Wake up.
Ow. Ma, I'm sleeping.
I am not your mother.
Huh? Oh, Anya, what are you doing in my bedroom? Did we... Oh, I thought I was with Bridget.
Oh, please. Get dressed. We're going out.
Out? What time is it?
2 a.m. You wanted to film exciting scenes for the show?
Heck yeah! Oh man, my head.
Take a couple of aspirin and splash your face with cold water. You did bring your night vision lens, yes?
No, I did. 2 a.m? Is this normal? I don't recall seeing any episodes that featured you all bleary-eyed and whispering in the dark.
You must not have seen the Transylvanian episode. We spent a lot of time lurking around graveyards and dark castles for that one. You want to come along or sleep off that drunk?
Ugh, give me 5 minutes.
I'll meet you out front. Dress for a hike and sneaking about.
Cool. Stealth filming in the wilds of Ireland.
To his credit, Eric was ready and dressed all in black in 4 minutes flat. Camera in hand, he tugged down his misbuttoned shirt and gave Anya a thumbs up and a wink. Men had it easy. Just tug on any old wrinkled bit of clothing and they were good to go. Anya couldn't complain. She'd tugged her hair into a ponytail, donned jeans and a t-shirt, and never worried about makeup. It wasn't something she used during a dig, just a bit for filming. But filming at night would make her face too eerie. Makeup would just increase the horror level. Eric strode alongside Anya in the quiet darkness.
We headed to the dig?
Yep. I want to take a look at Slater's dig.
So that's why the sneak.
We won't get any opportunity to look around during the day if Slater is ambling around with a pistol. Who knows how many guards he has posted. And why is that? Since when is muscle needed to protect a dig site from fellow archaeologists?
You tell me. I'm just the guy with the camera.
There's something weird going on at the site, and I want to dig deeper.
Dig deeper. It's a good one.
Anya rolled her eyes and headed off the main road and toward the dig, which was about 5 kilometers away. The hike was pleasant. The clear black sky twinkled with bright stars. The air smelled so fresh she wanted to bottle it and sneak it back home with her.
I can't see the site.
It's a couple of kilometers ahead. And so you know, when we get closer, we're doing stealth tonight. Sneaky quiet. Don't let anyone hear us kind of work, okay?
Cool.
Whatever you do, no matter what you see, keep your mouth shut, got it?
Chill, Anya. I can do the stealth.
You feeling better?
I only had 4 or 5 pints. I am so good, Anya.
Are your parents aware you drink?
Anya, you are so not with the program. My mom's dead. 3 years ago, it was breast cancer. And Dad doesn't care much as long as I don't do something to embarrass him and his company.
I'm sorry. Is it just you and your dad, then? Any brothers or sisters?
No siblings. Can't you tell I'm a spoiled, rotten only child? What about you?
No family.
The dig site was dark. No artificial lighting was strung along the camp tents. There was one small tent, which could be the director's office, and a larger tent that must be the central cache for finds and perhaps to keep tools. Anya was only half as curious about the actual dig area as she was about the truck parked behind the main tent. It was likely the supply truck that had driven in the tents and work equipment, but she could have sworn it was smaller and white the day she'd first arrived. Positioned behind a thick fence post that must have been dug in at the demarcation where Pete stopped and dirt began, she tugged Eric's sleeve so the kid would not step out into the open and reveal their presence.
Stay behind me. You got your camera rolling?
Sure, but what are we looking for in the night?
Anything suspicious. You want fairies?
Sure.
It's not gonna happen. There's something real and very likely human kidnapping people from the dig. And we're gonna find out who that is.
You think someone from this camp?
Haven't a clue. I wanted to talk to Beth earlier, but she was distraught.
I would be too, if I'd escaped from people with wings.
Eric, do you know it's not wise to talk about them or to name them with anything other than a euphemism? They can hear you, and they don't like it.
Really? You gonna go talk to Beth tomorrow?
First thing in the morning. Now come on, let's look around. Keep to the camp perimeter. Don't step out into the open. Your silhouette might be seen against the sky. And stay low.
You're very good at this, Anya.
This is my signal for you to film.
Anya made a V of her first two fingers, then pointed downward.
I'll point toward what I want filmed. Got it?
Yeah.
Stealth mode from here on. No talking.
Bending low and scampering across the grass, Anya headed for a mound of dirt dug up from the dig square. The spoil heap, which would eventually be sifted and sorted through before using it to backfill the site. The rich peat, combined with abundant heather growing around the camp perimeter, stirred a gorgeous perfume in the air. To his credit, Eric followed silently. He scanned the camera across the grounds. That gave her an idea. Kneeling behind the spoil heap, Anya held out her hand.
Let me take a look with that, will you?
Eric handed Anya the camera, and she scanned it across the site, noting the corded-off area where the diggers had cleared a surprising amount of turf and soil for the 4 weeks they had been there. Across the way, the camera marked out the tents and a makeshift trestle table with various shovels and brushes and a few artifacts scattered on it. There was no movement in any of the tents, but she felt sure someone slept inside. Whether security or Michael Slater, she couldn't know. The truck was parked beyond the tent. It was about the size of a delivery truck, but had no company name or discernible markings on the sides. A small flashing green light inside the cab caught her attention. Anya moved the camera from her eyes and squinted to see it was actually a red LED light. Must be on a stereo or GPS system. Another look through the camera found no movement in the cab. A scan along the bottom of the truck bed didn't spy any boots casing the perimeter. The camp was locked down for the night. And her scan didn't spot any hidden cameras. Not that she would find something that had been cleverly hidden. She handed the camera to Eric and gestured that they should creep over the spoil heap. She landed in the dig area beside taut cord line that marked off one side. Eric slid down the dirt, and he stumbled deeper. Anya clasped his wrist.
Got you.
She held all his weight. He hung over a tarped-off section. If she let him go, he'd slide onto the tarp, make a lot of noise, and possibly damage whatever find had been protected beneath the tarp. In the dark, her sense of depth didn't exist. Anya felt about with the heel of her boot for leverage, found a sure footing, then leaned back to pull Eric up. He stumbled not so gracefully across her body and rolled onto his back without making a sound. The camera he held above him, which had remarkably been spared. Grabbing the camera from his fierce clutch, she swung it toward where he had just been. Leaning forward, Anya lifted the tarp and scanned the grounds.
Nice.
There's something in there?
She handed the camera to Eric and gestured for him to film. She knelt before the artifact, and dug in her pocket for her maglite. Cautious to keep the tarp over the find, but lifting it so she could look inside and shine the light without the beam being noticed, she looked over the skeleton. It had been dug out completely. It was likely the team would lift it from the ground and begin to label and mark the bones in the morning. It looked complete, sprawled on her side. Yes, a female, for the flatter and proportionately larger pelvic bone. One arm had disconnected and lay a foot away above the skull. Earth erosion tended to move skeletons all over the place. This one was remarkably well-preserved and intact. She knew they could attribute that to the humid conditions of the peat bog. Anya switched off the light. With a glance toward the tents to confirm no movement, she then turned it back on and flashed the beam across the wall of the square to survey the strata. It appeared to be about as far down as Wesley's camp, which would put this skeleton mid-19th century. It was a guess. She felt Eric move beside her and pressed a hand to his knee to stay him.
Thanks.
She made the signal to film and lifted the tarp. As he carefully leaned forward, she hooked her fingers through a belt loop on his jeans. He understood what she was doing and dared to lean farther. Anya held firmly while Eric filmed, starting from the foot bones and all the way up and along the extended arm. When he slapped her ankle, she tugged him back. Watching the periphery, she determined all was still quiet. She gestured for Eric to follow her back over the mound of dirt where she paused. Taking the camera from Eric, she then looked over their tracks. Not so messy, and the dig grounds were not clean and smooth. This area was used a lot. Maybe no one would notice the extra footprints. With a signal to follow, Anya put her light in her pocket. She then crept along toward the tent. The moon was half full, and the air was clear and bright. If anything moved, she'd notice the silhouette against the blue-gray sky. Keeping her distance 5 feet from the tent, she straightened and insinuated herself along one wall. Ears keenly perked, she heard snoring from within. One single snore. It didn't mean only one person was inside, only one who snored. She moved onward. Eric kept filming. The man had a remarkable sense of his surroundings and did not trip. He must be an athlete. Grace came naturally. The truck was parked ahead. Taking a straight line because there was nothing to hide behind, Anya swiped at the breeze that moved her ponytail from in front of her shoulder to the back. Then she paused. There was no breeze, and she hadn't moved her head.
Anya!
She must have moved her hair, flipped it over her shoulder with a jerk of her head. It was the only thing that made sense, until a strange flutter made her look down.
I hear it. They're here.
Nothing is...
It had to be an insect. Beetles were noisy, their carapaces clattering against wings in flight. It had sounded like that, like a fluttering.
Just a bug.
Anya signaled they continue. She reached the truck, pressed a palm along the metal side, and walked the length of the bed toward the back.
Damn.
Eric slapped a palm to the truck bed. Anya's heart pounded. The muscles in her neck and shoulders tightened. For a moment, she stood like a statue, as did Eric. Both of them glanced west. No noise came from within the tent. The snoring had stopped, or else she was too far away to hear it. Moving around to the back of the truck bed, she gestured for Eric to follow. Testing the back doors with her fingers, she was surprised to feel them give. They were not locked.
Oh!
Eric?
Anya swept out her right hand, tapping into the other ware. She opened her fingers and closed them about the hilt of her battle sword. Slapping her left hand to the hilt, she prepared to meet whatever swung around the corner of the truck. Bright light flashed, causing Anya's pupils to constrict and reducing her ability to see in the darkness. Now that she had marked his position, she swung her arms out wide, twisting at the waist. The blade landed at his throat.
Drop it.
The flashlight beam wobbled and landed on the ground.
What's in the other hand, too?
A pistol barrel hit the ground. The man was big. She had to look up to feel his breath on her face.
Who are you?
I could ask the same. Anyone else out here tonight?
Anya pressed the blade into his flesh. It hadn't cut, but she could change that quick enough.
Hey, watch it.
Bring the volume down. Or are you alerting your buddies?
I'm the only bloke on security tonight.
No one else? The tents are empty?
Yes, they all leave at nightfall.
I thought I heard someone snoring in the main tent.
I'm the only one. Trust me, Doc.
Anya twisted the blade to press the flat of it under his jaw, prompting him to lift his chin.
What'd you do to my man?
Drink, Doc. It will knock him out for a couple hours.
Eric? You must have missed. Step aside.
Anya followed his careful sideways steps with the blade of her sword, wedging it firmly against his neck. When he stood against the open sky, his silhouette, imposing as it was, showed her he was barrel-shaped and probably more brawn than physically agile. Bending and performing a sinuous move, she snapped up the dart gun from the ground with her left hand. That moment of inattention got her a boot to the side of her shoulder. Her body collided with the rear truck tire. Yet she maintained her hold on both the gun and sword. The security guard ran around to the other side of the truck. Scrambling to her feet, Anya skipped over Eric's fallen body.
Be right back. Stay there.
My leg.
Anya tracked the man to the truck cab. She dashed around the front of the truck and slashed her sword across his thigh as he took the first step up into the truck. He released his grip on the steering wheel and landed on the ground, arms splayed. Pinioning him with the sword tip directly over his heart, Anya loomed over him. With her other hand, she teased the dart gun's trigger. It was spring-loaded, ready to fire.
What's in the truck?
Nothing but supplies! Bloody trespasser.
Why don't you let me take a look inside?
It's shovels and buckets.
Just a peek then, to verify. Stay.
Aiming at him with the pistol, Anya backtracked to the end of the truck. Releasing the sword into the otherwhere gave her a free hand to dig out her maglite. A flash of it inside the truck bed found it was empty, save for, indeed, a stack of empty black buckets. She thought she should have a look inside the tents, but as the man had stated, she was the trespasser. She didn't need to cross any more lines tonight, especially since her original plan to sneak in unnoticed had gone haywire.
We'll be leaving then, nice and quick.
She aimed for the guard's arm and pulled the trigger. A good shot should put him out completely within 15 to 30 seconds. Anya nudged his arm with her toe.
Just let that rush through your system. Good boy.
With a nudge of her boot toe to the side of his head, she verified he was out. Rushing around the side of the truck, she expected to find Eric out cold, too. He sat with his shoulders braced against a tire. Anya knelt before him.
Some kind of dart. I tugged it out of my thigh as soon as I felt it hit. It just cut through some skin, but it didn't go deep. But I can't feel my leg now, Anya. I'm paralyzed. I can't lose my leg. I'm young. Girls don't go for guys in wheelchairs. Well, I mean, some do, but those chicks are whacked, Anya.
It's a tranquilizer. Your leg is asleep. The more you move, the more the adrenaline pushes it through your system. Though perhaps it didn't hit the bloodstream with the shallow cut. I think you lucked out, Eric. Just give me 1 minute.
Anya retrieved the video camera and swept it across the camp one last time, including taking in the fallen guard's face.
Anya!
Anya shut off the camera and raced back to Eric's side. She helped him to stand and hop on one foot.
Oh, it stings.
You're gonna have to hop along beside me. We have to move fast before anyone else discovers us. Put your arm around my shoulder and let's go.
You got the camera?
Yep.
How'd you get away from that dude? He was huge. And he had that gun.
Used my feminine wiles.
Wiles?
Quiet now. We'll talk when we get back.
Passing the truck and tents, Anya thought briefly about the strange feeling she'd had before finding the guard, that someone or something had been near her. Something she could not see, yet had felt as if wings had moved the air about her. With a careful scan of her surroundings, Anya led Eric into the dark countryside. If there were fairies out here, she'd try her best to avoid any rats or hawthorn bushes, anything the other crowd deemed their own, just to be safe. They arrived back at the B&B around 5 a.m. After Anya inspected Eric's thigh and declared it a superficial wound, the dart had torn his jeans and abraded the skin, he fell immediately to sleep. She decided to view the video of the enemy camp in the morning. She'd managed 3 hours of sleep when...
We're having breakfast below, my dear.
Thank you, Mrs. Riley. I'll be right down.
You coming?
What? Of course I am. Nothing can keep me away from black pudding. How are you feeling?
You were right. It's just a nick. I think it was more shock at actually being shot at than actual injury, you know? This is turning out to be way more exciting than following my dad around on documentary gigs.
Eric gave her a thumbs up, then closed her door. 15 minutes later, after some amazing luck at finding the bathroom empty and the shower stocked with towels, Anya sat at a table perusing the black pudding. It wasn't mushy or in any sort of form she associated with pudding. It was actually sliced blood sausage that was then fried. Although there was nothing keeping her away from the delicacy, she changed her mind and went with double the rashers and eggs. An extra helping of beans was served, too. Mrs. Riley and her son joined her, along with Eric. Mrs. Riley's husband entered, coddling something close to his chest. Mr. Riley slid a dark wine bottle into the fridge and wandered into the dining room. Anya had been told the husband delivered auto parts to various repair shops in County Cork.
What's that, honey?
Wine for Mr. Collins.
Daniel Collins.
Yes. He's got the nicest wines. He barters, did you know?
What did you trade this time, honey?
Nothing of much import. Something I found in one of the delivery trucks. Never you mind. It's all in the goblet, don't you know? That's what Collins told me. Something about allowing the wine to breathe and the width of the goblet opening. Nice to meet you, Miss Creed. My wife tells me you're with the dig up yonder.
Actually, I'm here to film a segment about the people gone missing from the dig.
That'd be the fair folk, then.
Mr. Riley sat down and tucked a napkin in at his collar and began to murder the runny eggs on the plate before him.
You don't expect to catch the wee things on film, do you?
Not at all. I've been told the fair folk are not seen, but rather experienced.
It would bring a disaster upon you to attempt such shenanigans with your filming equipment. I was quite relieved when the BBC was shuffled out of town, don't you know?
My crew is small, just myself and Eric. And I hope to explore the more human aspects of the story while I'm here.
You know, Rachel Collins owns a genuine fairy spear. And certainly Jones, well. He's always sauce, so we can never be sure what truths he speaks or if they are fairy tales. Oh, it's all tales of fairies then, isn't it?
I think it all started with Farmer Gentry's arthritis.
Is that the name of the farmer whose land we're digging on?
Indeed. He found the spear fragment when he was cutting turf to soak in.
Soak in what?
Himself. Peat is good for the muscles and bones. Gentry soaks every other day and swears he's much more spry for it. Good for the arthritis, don't you know? You tell me you haven't seen those fancy salons in the United States that sell the peat baths for restoration and beauty for thousands of your American dollars?
I don't really go to spas. It makes sense, though. The peat would retain vital minerals and carbon that could have a healing effect on the body.
Mr. Riley nodded, pleased with the information he'd bestowed, and his wife patted his forearm. Anya would have to remember that silver lining the next time she found herself mucking about in a fresh, deep bog. Mr. Riley offered Anya and Eric a vintage black Mini Cooper to use for the day if they'd stop by the market and pick him up some cigars. More rust than paint coated the body of the compact road hazard. But after a few stops and starts, Eric got a handle on the stick shift. On the passenger side, Anya reviewed the night's footage that she'd transferred to her laptop. Even enhancing the video and altering the brightness didn't allow for much clarity. It had been a dark dig. But the skeleton did show quite nicely, which pleased her. She was able to confirm the pelvic bone was female from the wide sciatic notch nicely revealed on film. She couldn't be sure, but the pale gray smudges along the femur looked like fabric. It was very unlikely that fabric would have survived so long in regular dirt, but not impossible when buried in a peat bog. Peat retained moisture well, which preserved things like skin, bone, and some fabrics. Heck, it even cured arthritis, according to Mr. Riley. A sample of the thread strands could be dated with the proper lab equipment. Wesley Pierce had contacts in Cork. They'd be able to learn a lot about the corpse if they could test the fabric. She wondered what would make the one skeleton worth protecting.
The town is just ahead, beyond that field of grazing sheep.
It was time to find Beth Gwillim and hear her story. Eric let Anya off at the door to West County General Hospital, then drove off, looking for a parking space. What the hospital offered was standard issue. Drab green walls enclosed the sick and their caregivers in a dreary environment. The smell of antiseptic permeated the air. Fluorescent lighting cast over the staff, who were clad in more drab green and looking as downtrodden as the sick. Anya walked with purpose. She bypassed admissions, knowing she'd be asked if she was family. After determining the entire first floor was for emergency and outpatient services, she took the stairs to the second floor. Reading the charts fitted sideways into metal holders outside each door, Anya finally located Beth Gwillim. Just as she touched the door marked "See Front Desk for Visiting Regulations,"
"Pardon me, miss,"
she was stopped in her tracks. 5 minutes later, Eric found Anya wandering the hall some distance from Beth's room. He'd left his camera equipment in the mini, which was smart. No need to draw more attention to what they were doing.
No luck? Is she sleeping?
I've been firmly told by a nurse that I'm not allowed to visit unless I'm a relative.
Well, that rules out questioning her.
Anya took the measure of the hallway. The nurse's station stood 4 doors down from Beth's room. The receptionist was out of sight, but nurses came and went from all directions, including the occasional nun. She could risk slipping in and waking Beth, but would Beth even speak to her? Eric gestured to the metal file holder near Anya's head.
So why don't you take a peek at her chart? I have a digital camera in my pocket. If we're sneaky, we can take shots of the whole thing and then duck out and read them.
Eric, that's illegal. In there.
Anya gestured to the men's bathroom across the hall. Sneaking down the hall and slipping the chart from the rack, she pushed open the bathroom door. Eric was waiting in the handicapped stall.
Hurry.
Obviously shocked at her daring, Eric clutched his digital camera near his chest and gaped. She opened the file and held it for him to snap a shot. Page after page, they worked.
Oh, this freaks you out? You're the one who suggested it.
Everything about you freaks me out, Anya. I was just kidding. Sort of. Maybe. My leg still aches from last night. And you dispatched that huge security guy with your bare hands. Look, this is cool, but in a freaky kind of way, you know?
Make sure you get a clear, high-resolution shot.
I am the cameraman. Don't you worry about my work. I think I hear someone coming.
Turn and face the door.
Anya stood on the toilet seat and crouched, so it would appear that only Eric's feet were inside the stall.
He didn't wash his hands. Ugh. I think we've got it all. Let's go.
Out in the car, Anya scanned the hospital records on her laptop. Medical terminology was not her thing. It read like hieroglyphics, yet hieroglyphics she could decipher after some study.
Anything?
Not sure. She's diabetic. I wonder if she might have missed an insulin dose, got disoriented, and wandered off. Wait a minute. It wasn't lack of insulin. Overdose on lysergic acid diethylamide.
But LSD?
I don't want to know how you know that.
Well, come on, Anya. Anyone who's been through high school knows that. And look at you, acting all goody-two-shoes when you've just stolen private hospital records.
Don't remind me.
So she was on LSD?
Sounds like it. And she overdosed.
Is that the same thing as magic mushrooms?
No. They would have made a notation if they'd suspected as much. And it feels wrong. Wesley mentioned magic mushrooms and insinuated that maybe a few of the crew members had eaten them, but this is different. Maybe it wasn't voluntary, but administered? If Beth had been kidnapped and taken forcibly from the site, then drugged, that would explain her thinking she'd been taken by the other crowd, don't you think?
It's not as cool as the real thing, captured by fairies, but I can dig it. But she was gone, like what, almost 2 days? And would they have kept her high on LSD that whole time? That's one hell of a trip.
No kidding. I'm missing something here, and I'm not sure I'll have it until I can talk to Beth and get the truth. I wonder what the residual effects of an overdose are.
Do you think we should go for a hike through the forest, edging the dig?
It's not a bad idea. It's where Beth emerged. She had to have come from somewhere.
Maybe down by the river.
Yes, but what's down there?
Well, we won't know until we look.
All right,